Love Talk Radio.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He called everyone. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Visit StrokesNoJoke.org, brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for waking up this morning. It's a great Saturday here in Philadelphia. Definitely going to be a warm, maybe muggy day today. But right now we're going to be talking with Yvonne Bynoe. She's the founder of the blog SophisticatedWomanAndMama.com. The blog is focusing on the Gen X hip-hop generation working mothers. And one of her main focuses is financial security and literacy for women, which is a very important issue. I definitely want to touch on that. But also today I want to talk about a book she helped edit called Who's Your Mama? Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming on this morning. Definitely women and money is a hot topic. Women and money is a hot topic. Either women are spending too much money shopping or thinking that the guy's going to pay for dinner and the house and the picket fence. So that's definitely a big issue. And when we're talking about moms, who's going to help take care of the kid is a big issue. If we go into the issue of child support and just paying for books and clothes and school and saving for college, all that all needs money, right?
Yeah, definitely. When I started thinking about the book, Who's Your Mama, the anthology, Who's Your Mama, The Unsung Voices of Women and Mothers, really it was trying to figure out how is this new generation of women incorporating work and family. We've heard all the conversations about the mommy wars, women who are staying home, women who are working, but that really wasn't the experience of most American women. Most American women are in the workforce in some capacity, whether it's part-time working at home, they're taking off some time to go back on. And we really haven't had a substantive conversation about what does that look like. And part of the main issue that I found over and over and over was that money was an undercurrent to how people felt they had to make their choices or what choices they were making. In the book, we have some women, one woman who was a college-educated woman who decided to go on welfare. Her priority was to stay home with her child, and under her current work circumstances,
no matter what, yeah, she wanted to go back.
I have paid enough into the system, and now, you know, for a time, I'm going to, you know, take this this money from the system so that I can parent the way I want it to. And I also found in my coaching, when I first started coaching, which was an outgrowth of this anthology, you know, because people would come to me and they had read the book, or we would have the discussions in bookstores or you know, organizational meetings, and people wanted to get my opinion, and that's kind of, you know, or get advice, and that's how it kind of morphed into coaching. And then originally I started talking about, you know, lifestyle. How can you create a less stressful lifestyle? How can you find more fulfillment as a mother or a working person? And money kept on coming up. And it was an aha to me that really women need to deal with money because they're making a lot of choices that are stressing them out, that are stressing out their relationships, that are not healthy emotionally or physically because they are really scared about their money situation and their finances.
Yes. Well, one of the stories in the book talking about college educated is that there was a Haitian woman. She decided to go on the path of, you know, I'm not going to have any kids, but she was going to take her sexuality into her own hands and using contraceptive. And one of the things I think is important is that no matter how much contraceptive you use, things happen.
Right.
And then the issue of her having an abortion.
Right.
And I don't want to focus on the issue of abortion, but the issue of having to pay for the abortion.
Well,
it's an issue, too, that women don't even have maybe the money, or the guy doesn't have money, that she was a teenager at the time, to even think about paying for abortion, or that it was an easy choice. Like, I think in the TV and the media, they make it out, like, in terms of pro-choice against conservative, that pro-choice women, oh, yeah, go get an abortion, no problem, you know. But there is the issue of financially to go get it, because a lot of health care now with this new health reform, they're not going to pay for that.
Well, and the thing is, what we really have to start focusing on in our communities particularly is the issue that things have a cost. Your decisions in life have a cost. You know, there are a lot of academics and, you know, intellectuals who talk about sexual agency. And, you know, you have a right as a woman to, you know, express your sexuality however you want to. That's true. But as you just indicated, the net result of that could be a pregnancy, and how are you going to deal with that? If you carry the pregnancy to term, you have a child that you are legally responsible for, clothing, feeding, housing, at least for 18 years. If you go the other route to terminate the pregnancy, you have to have the money and the means to get to the place. In some parts of the country, that getting to the facility is a chore. And and on top of that, paying for the procedure. So we don't want to talk about money. I still think, unfortunately, this is idea about around too many women that somebody else is going to rescue them. So whether that's your mother, your father, or some man that's going to come and provide the means for you to live a certain lifestyle. And certainly that can happen, but the reality is that even under the best circumstances, you could have a fabulous marriage or fabulous partnership. What happens if that man dies? What happens if, in fact, as we've seen in the current economy, he loses his employment? What happens if he decides, I no longer want to be in this relationship with you? If you've tied all of your financial health to this one person, you're going to be in dire straits. And the statistics show us that for married women, their standard of living plummets 73% after a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the book Who's Your Mama, there's a story about a woman who wanted to have a baby, and the lady, they adopted the kid.
Yeah.
And then they end up getting a divorce.
Exactly.
Because of money issues, a business thing that went bad, and other stresses in their marriage. I don't think the money was the only issue.
No.
But that's a perfect issue of someone, you want to be a mother. As a woman, you may decide that you want to be a mother, and you're with someone, and she was in a good marriage. It sounded like she was, you know, they were doing well, and they got this baby. But now the positive thing about that story, which I thought was very beautiful, is that the man wanted to continue to help take care of that child, even though after. One of the other things you talk about, and if we're talking about legal issues, because you mentioned that on your website also, and let me mention your website. It's sophisticatedwomanandmama.com. Again, sophisticatedwomanandmama.com, and you can connect with Yvonne there. I learned about some of her teleclasses, her money manifesto. Tell us about the money manifesto.
The money manifesto was really something that I was inspired to. I tend to continue to be a strong proponent of continuing education. So I'm always looking for information and, you know, just this things that can spur me and my personal growth that I can just then pass on to my audience. And I just felt it was really important that, you know, rather than a long-winded conversation, here are some key bullet points. If you did nothing else but look at my website and looked at the manifesto, that here are some things that you could really begin to think about yourself and really try and start reframing your financial situation. Like, number one, I am ultimately responsible for my financial well-being, not my spouse, a partner, relative, employer, or the government. If you take the idea that my financial life is in my hands and there is no safety net, you
right.
have to make different choices. And, again, this is not to negate the fact that you might have loving parents or a great spouse or partner, but as an adult person, as an adult woman taking care of a child, you can't make every decision based on what somebody else is going to do.
Well, I think that's an important issue. It's not that you're saying, I mean, it's also not a control issue in a negative sense, I think. For me, I've heard a lot of people, I had two friends who got married on the same day. And one of, unfortunately, they both got divorced, too. I was friends with the husband. And in one situation, there was an issue of money. They had not fully sat down and talked about, well, who's going to help pay for whose student loans? We're trying to get a house. The car, and one partner didn't think it was their responsibility to pay for the other partner's debt.
Yeah.
So that's an issue also, that when you do go into a partnership, whether you're heterosexual or a lesbian or gay, whatever, when you go into a partnership in terms of emotional partnership, we have to talk about these basic issues, and one of them is money and who's going to pay for what, when, how, and why. And then continue that process, I think, throughout the relationship, maybe on a monthly basis, talking with your partner. Hey, where are we? Oh, you paid that? Okay, how's that going? Even if you decide, okay, the one partner A is going to deal with a lot of bills paying, you as the partner B, I think, need to check in.
Well, that's one of the manifestos. Number six, I am a full participant in my household's money management, whether I work outside the home or not. You make an excellent point. When you get involved with people and it starts getting serious to the point that you want to share a household or you want to get married or whatever have you, you got to have that talk with them. Where are they? Are they already in debt beyond a place that you're comfortable with? What is your debt situation? How do you all spend money? Some people, you know, they're the life of the party. As long as they got it, they're going to spend it. Other people are more conservative in their spending. The emotional component of a relationship is certainly important. It's the key point. But also, too, that financial part is the logistics that keep families and households going. And if you don't want to talk about those things, if you have one person who's shutting down and refuses to be engaged, you're at a disadvantage, and more than likely the situation, regardless of how much you might feel emotionally for the person, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work out.
You're going to have bills. The people are going to be knocking on the door. They're going to be repoing your car. It's expenses that bring. And what we're finding, too, a lot of women are finding that primarily women, they're finding secret debt.
Yeah.
They're opening up credit cards, not paying bills. And if the relationship, terminates or he leaves, you are still legally responsible for these debts because your name is on it. Now, whether or not you were aware of it or knew what he was charging, if you have a joint account with somebody, that's what's happening.
You're responsible. Let's talk about another subject in the book, too, and it's also connected with money, the death of a child. As a mother, as a parent, whether you're a man or a woman, in the book, unfortunately, there were several situations where people's children had to pass away. And one particular that was very touching to me was a woman who had a baby and didn't have a skull.
Mm-hmm.
It was a birth defect of a spina bifida.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the choice of terminating that pregnancy. But another issue is the death of a child. And as African-American women, having African-American children, or in some of the book stories, Latino women, but if you are a minority in this country, the chances of you as a male maybe facing death are unfortunately higher at an earlier age than, say, your Caucasian counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm coming to is paying for a funeral. That's an issue that you don't want to think about as a parent or even as an adult, but having to pay for a funeral maybe of a spouse or of your child is another financial burden.
Well, what I would put that in the category is that this is really an issue about us having financial cushions or emergency savings, whatever title or label you want to use for it. You have to have, you know, money set aside for things that are unexpected.
So how do you start the process of that, though, Yvonne? Because it's like you're saying it sounds like it's flowing out like water that, you know, yeah, we should save, we should have these conversations with our partners. Why are we not having these conversations with our partners? Why are we not saving as women?
Because ultimately women are afraid. Number one, many women, and this is my experience through coaching, conversations, women are afraid about money. The money itself, the dollar, the coin, really has no value. We all are, you know, on an intellectual level, we know that we could start trading, you know, shells or rocks. So the money itself, but it's the emotional attachment we have to the money. And for women, just like when we have these conversations about safe sex, a lot of times it stalls because they're too afraid that if they broach these conversations with men,
they're going to lose their partner. Well, you know, let's just get back to yourself as an individual. And I always talk about this on the show is loving and caring for yourself. And one of the parts of that is taking care of your money. So what happens in your teleclasses? Talk about some of the things that you walk people through in your teleclasses.
Well, a lot of it begins with in a mindset. We have one coming up on May 12th. And the first session we'll be talking about mindset because ultimately – you know, your money is just merely a reflection of what else is going on in your life. If your money situation, you're not paying attention to your money situation, you got overdue bills, you're spending more money than you need to, you know, that's just a manifestation of some other issues that you're probably not dealing with in your life. And the main thing, first and foremost, you have to get to a place, or I teach women, you have to get to a place where your money, your financial well-being is just as well, is just important to you as your health. You would not go
Your hair.
Yeah,
let's talk about black women and their hair.
Exactly.
But black women and their hair, we spend a lot of money on our hair, getting weaves, getting braids. Unless you have locks, but then if you want to maintain your locks, you got to go to the store, you know, get them retwisted. And so let's put it in perspective, and because that's something I think as women and as black women, are you spending more money on your hair than paying for, say, a medical bill that's passed through, or your cell phone bill, or your gas, your electric? Are you paying more money on that than you're paying on your health insurance? So you want to be cheap on your health, and then if something happens, you're out of luck. That's where you got to put it in perspective.
Exactly.
Or our nails, or a manicure or pedicure. You can do a manicure or pedicure at home.
And that's the main thing, that ultimately you wouldn't get up and go out into the world and not brush your teeth and take care of your personal hygiene. So how are you not looking at your bills? How are you not being responsible, or at least knowledgeable of what is going out in your household? What is a need versus a want? A lot of us are fulfilling self-worth issues by going shopping. We're feeling loneliness, or we don't have somebody in our life as a romantic partner, and we're running out shopping. And at the end you still don't have a partner, and you just have more debt. You're not dealing with the issue of why your life is currently at its focus now. If you're lacking a partner, what do you need to do for you to either get out and socialize more, or what self-growth or self-development you need to do? But going to, you know, the store.
Shopping sprees and buying expensive items.
Yeah,
Or even if it's on sale.
Yeah.
Even if it's on sale. Now, let's talk about, again, we're going back to being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to our kids about money. I mean, I feel as a mom, I'm upset that the school system doesn't teach kids really about money. I didn't have a class when I was growing up about what is a stock, what is a bond, what is a mutual fund, how much percentage should I put away every month, how much life insurance should I have if I, you know, decide to purchase, you know, what's term life insurance. I mean, these are things I had to learn as an adult and I had to seek out. But I think as a parent and as a human on this planet, children need to be taught about money at an early age. What is your opinion about that, Yvonne?
Well, I agree. I guess the one place that I go back to, I think that's the parents' responsibility to make those choices, because the school can say whatever they want to say. If they are watching their parents be in debt or not talk about money or hiding money or not being responsible, the messages won't be aligned anyway. So to me, this is what I go back to as a mother, as a parent, that is your responsibility to leave a financial and emotional legacy for your children that's healthy. That, you know, a lot of us grew up either with a very scarcity mentality, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, don't ask
yes.
for that.
Yes.
Otherwise, we saw our parents spending money hand over fist, but then when it was time to go to college or do something big, the money wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, it's very difficult if we go as a single mom, the issue of trying to raise children in this country. Our country, and one of your stories in the book talks about the issue of you only have 6 weeks unpaid FMLA.
Right.
I think it's 12 weeks now, though. Is it longer?
That's even depending on what kind of company you work for.
Yeah, but it's unpaid. And then that's the issue where other countries, they provide the cushion so that you can go take care of kids. People, a lot of times, people complain that maybe minority women, in terms of class, economics, of poverty, they don't care about their kids, they don't want to take care of them. But the issue is not that they don't want to take care of them, it's that they have to go out and work to take care of them. And they can't take the time at home to take care of them, maybe the way a traditional stay-at-home mom might, you know, a Caucasian stay-at-home mom might be able to do.
Well, I'm going to say something controversial. And
go ahead.
Part of it is we need to be more clear who we're having kids with.
And you need to be clear whether you can have a kid or not.
Well, that's the other thing. There's a financial cost to children, and the man that you partner with, that he needs to be able and willing to bear part of that responsibility. I started out as an attorney, and there are plenty of women who could not even go and get child support because they didn't have the sufficient information on the man that they had these kids with.
Mm-hmm.
Or the man had no employment, or he already had other children he was already taking care of and simply could not add another one onto the list
And so, remember, contraceptive is not 100%, and that's something even in your book, the young lady, like I mentioned, talked about that issue, that yes, you may think you're grown and you're making a good choice using contraceptives, a pill or a condom, whatever you want to use. None of those things are 100%, and people still get pregnant, even when you're married. That's something I think people may get married, and in the book, I'm not sure if you brought that up, but you could be married, you're on contraceptive, and you still get pregnant. Have you and your partner talked about, well, even though we're using protection, we could have a kid. So are we going to have an abortion, or are we going to raise the kid? Are we going to put it up for adoption? Those all take money. All those steps take money.
I agree with you, and I guess and in my position is women have to be more intentional of the choices that they make. Certainly children are a blessing, but for us to be able to give our children a life chances and opportunities, they cost. You go in some communities, you have a 22-year-old girl with four kids already. The likelihood that she's going to be able to offer them the same quality of life as a similarly situated woman who maybe only has one child is highly unlikely. If you're with somebody who starts out the gate with no employment, yeah, theoretically he could get a job. He could do a whole lot of things. Why would you take the chance? Because you are saying that if I engage in an intimate relationship with this person, there is a likelihood, even if I am doing everything diligently, there's a likelihood I'm going to have a child. And if he can't take care of himself by getting employment, getting his own place to live, not being in his mama's basement, why would I want to take that risk to have a child with this person?
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things you also bring up in the book is the issue of biracial children. And there was a story in the book, I think it was a black woman and a Latino man. One of her children is lighter.
He's from Spain, yes.
He's from Spain. Mm-hmm. And one of the children is white looking, and the other child is slightly cocoa color. And she in her essay, she just talks about her concerns of, you know, we know, we have color issues in this country. Light is all right, and you know, black go to the back and all this stuff, the paper bag test. We still have those issues in our culture. Even if this case, the man was from Spain, she had two children, and one of the issues comes up in my mind is, will the darker skinned child make as much money as the lighter skinned child? That's an issue too. As a parent, you look at your kids. How will they succeed in this world? And the issue of your skin color definitely affects how much money you make in this country.
Well, I think the bigger issue for me is that you have to be prepared in this country. And I think that's where a lot of us, you know, miss the boat entirely. We are too consumed with worrying about what's on American Idol, what Steve Harvey's talking about, and, you know, all these other things, instead of us continuing to get the education and training and putting ourselves in places where opportunity exists. You're in Philadelphia. I'm from New York. It's astounding to me. People come from other countries. They cannot speak English, but they seem to be able, in many instances, to build businesses and maybe in one or two generations uplift their economic situation. So I'm not really a proponent that what we can't do. Racism is real. It exists. Sexism is real.
Now you definitely can't deny that.
But you have to be arming yourself with the tools to get out there and beat it back.
Oh, definitely. I think that the education is a key factor in helping pulling people out of poverty. Knowledge is definitely one of the most valuable things that can push you out of poverty. There's no negating that factor. And I don't think people should sit around, oh, the white man this or the system that or blah, 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 blah. But nonetheless, it still does exist, even for people with PhDs. Had gotten arrested on his doorstep.
But I'm not crying for Skip Gates, because, you know, my whole thing is that situation certainly happened. But by the same token, he wasn't the first person. Earl Graves' son many years ago was arrested. Those things certainly will happen. But the bottom line is those men are still very affluent. They still have credentials. They were able to take these situations and parlay them into their professional whatever have you.
It still goes back to the education, though,
that they had
that education and they were able to use it. And what I think is important that you do is education not just about historical issues, but about financial education that you're trying to impart to women is so important. Again, it goes back to not being taught as children, whether you're men or little boys, little girls, as parents. integrating that into the education of your child. I've already talked to my daughter about pre-tax accounts. I tried to explain that, make a little circle design when she was a little kid. She was like under 10. And I was talking to her about pre-tax account, pre-tax health care account, pre-tax child, because I was using that to help pay, you know, for her child care.
Right.
And I explained to her what that meant, meaning mommy had to pay less taxes, which is a good thing, you know, by doing this. But I wasn't taught that as a kid. So it definitely starts, I think, young. But even if you weren't taught as an adult, it's your responsibility to learn what is out there in terms of, you know, getting your health insurance, your wills, you know, other issues that you need to take care of, or just paying your bills on time.
Yeah.
A lot of times we struggle. We are in a tough economy. People are unemployed. Just try to do the best that you can. And also one of the things I know in terms of debt, they always try to say open the line of communication with the places you owe debt and maybe pay even if it's only $25. But if you're paying that consistently, people see the effort.
Exactly. And that's an amazing to me. For me, I'm really committed to the idea that women, particularly mothers, are emotionally and financially able to create the lifestyle that they want for themselves and their children. I think that too many women are in relationships that are not healthy because they need the financial support, or they're scared to be by themselves, or they may not have the education or the employment background to, in their minds, to do better. And a lot of women, too, even professional women, they're not making as much money as they could be because they start out undercutting their salary. A guy will go into a salary negotiation with the exact same credentials, but he from the door will ask for more money. Women are scared to ask for more money because maybe they won't hire me. Men don't have those concerns. So
Well, that goes to self-worth. You are worthy.
Right.
You are worthy. You are not. You have to think about that. When I go on the door, the people call you because they're interested in you, so they want you. So definitely put your best foot forward and ask for what you want. You'd be surprised what you get.
Exactly. And I guess my key point, you'll turn around and you two will have the same exact job title, but incrementally he will have more money because he started out with And then we talk about a gender pay gap. So, I mean, in the same, the guy sitting in a cubicle next to you could be making, you know, $10,000 more, you know, because he asked for it and you simply didn't. And, you know, we have to get in the mindset of really talking more about that. We get very hyped about these women in the videos. I started out talking about hip-hop culture and how that played with economics and politics. A lot of women, they think they're going to, you know, be the next video star. And, you know, just like you being a rap artist, the likelihood
or a basketball player
better,
or a football player.
You have a better chance of going to medical school and being a doctor than being an NBA player, a rap star,
or a video vixen.
It's just not going to happen. We need to get people into reality, especially our young daughters and our young sons. Keep your butts in school and try, like I said, figure out what makes you happy.
Yvonne, I'm sorry, I just need to interrupt you because we only have about a minute left.
Okay.
In closing, again, let's remember Yvonne's website, sophisticatedwomanandmama.com. Again, sophisticatedwomanandmama.com. Please check her out and learn from her about financial security, financial literacy, money manifesto, her financial renewal blueprint. We got one caller here. Let me just take this caller here. But
sure.
In closing, I want to thank the listeners. What do you want to say in 1 minute to the listeners, Yvonne?
Just really, if you're a woman, if you're a mother, that start taking even just baby steps towards your financial security. It will be a godsend for you and your child to live with a peace of mind about that you have the money to do what you need to do every day, not, you know, of your life.
Yes. Thank you so much, Yvonne, for coming on this morning. And I want to just stay in touch in any new projects or programs you have coming up about financial literacy. Please keep me in mind, okay?
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
I want to thank the listeners for tuning in this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys. And also you can become a fan on Facebook, Saturday mornings with Joy Keys. Tune in 11:30. We're going to be talking to Paula Lucas about her harrowing story overseas with domestic violence. So stay tuned. In 1-2 minutes, we're going to be talking with Paula Lucas.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.